You want a tango? Because it takes two.
Takes two. Actually, it takes three.
What?
To stabilize a relationship.
Plot twist.
Plot twist. And today we're going to be talking about triangles and triangulation as a basic human relationship process.
You are listening to the Potential State Podcast with your hosts, Dr. Asael and Galit Romanelli.
Hi, my name is Dr. Asael Romanelli.
I'm Galit Romanelli.
And this is the
Potential State.
And today we're going to talk about the stablest number is three.
Ooh, a triad.
Triangulation as the cement of relationships. So basically, this comes from the work of Murray Bowen, who was a family therapist in the 50s. And he basically noticed that in relationships, in human relationships, partners, there's always going to be this procedure, this process that when anxiety rises too much and we can't deal with it, we reach out of the relationship and we triangulate a third party.
That reminds me of also what Esther Perel talks about having a third, kind of whether literally or just conceptually having a third in the relationship.
Exactly. And usually that third can be one of our kids, it can be our parents, it can be one of our best friends, it can even be a therapist. And what's the idea? That the second there's two and there's one that's a bit removed. The second the heat gets too hot here and we're not able to hold that heat, we're not differentiated enough. Differentiation is my ability to be myself and also to be in intimacy. This is another Murray Bowen concept. You can refer to that episode as well. So we need to kind of regulate ourselves. So the person that's least comfortable, let's say it's me, I'm going to reach out to my son, right? Create a coalition with my son.
Wait 1 second. So basically when heat rises between the dyad, we pull in a third party to lower the heat and intensity.
And also raise the intimacy with a third party.
Right, to divert our attention, energy, hostility, whatever. All the emotions that are kind of building up here can get dispersed amongst a third party.
And then the more she feels comfortable, now I become the third, right? I become the less comfortable. And now there's tension between me and that third. So basically differentiation is a lose-lose endeavor. Because it's side-taking. So whoever triangulates the third person, that person's going to be in tension with my partner.
But it's essentially functional. In other words, it happens because it's functional to the relationship, because if we don't know what we're doing with this tension and buildup and hostility, if we can disperse it a little bit, then we can reduce kind of on all fronts.
Right. It's unavoidable and it's natural. And when there's less anxiety, it works more fluid. The problem starts when relationships have a lot of anxiety and when people are poorly differentiated and there's a rigid triangulation, which doesn't help the dyad grow.
Right.
And it creates a lose-lose situation. I see this a lot in the clinic, especially with children. Children get triangulated all the time, especially with divorced families. Right? The mom and the dad can't get along. So they communicate through the kid and they're basically forcing the kid to pick sides. Mm-hmm. And also in couples therapy, right? I am the third. So they triangulate me to try to help me convince and change their partner.
To be the ref, to be the judge.
But the problem with that is it prevents growth. It stabilizes the system, but it locks people in as small and reactive.
It stabilizes the system by allowing you to divert your attention and kind of hide rather than meet in the crucible
exactly. And
grow.
And for a lot of people, they're happy to be triangulated because when you're on the outside, it's cold. So you want to be part of the action, right? But that's why it's a vicious cycle. And oftentimes, kids that are used to being triangulated will actually create heat.
They suck and they sit. The heat
so like when back. Me and Galit are tense, I know that my son is going to hit his sister. And then we're both, instead of being angry here, we're both looking at him. We're both giving him attention. And then we're more okay. And usually there are roles. There's the generator, the person that feels the most anxiety, that's trying to provoke the triangulation.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm the generator, like when he rises or when I'm trying to think like too many steps ahead or I'm noticing that things are kind of spiraling out of my control, then I kind of feel this sense of anxiety or flooding and then I notice that Sah, for instance, will act it out.
And that he's in the role of the amplifier. So he gets kind of induced into the triangle, and he can't hold on to himself enough, so he gets triggered. And then the dampener, which is me, which I'm usually more removed, I swoop in. But here's the lose-lose, right? Who do I swoop into? If I swoop in with Galit,
then he feels alone.
And if I swoop in with Tetzach,
then I feel alone.
And as you can see, it's a lose-lose. So in fact, so Galit kind of lowered her levels of anxiety, but all three of us are in a lose-lose situation.
But so what do we do? How can we, A, be more mindful, B, not enter kind of such a, I feel like it's turning up the volume on the triangulation, because there's always some form of triangle somewhere, but it's a matter of kind of cranking it up or down. And also, once we're in it, how can we lower the volume on that?
So Murray Bowen talks about two things, observation and control. Mm. So first thing, just knowing this idea, knowing this concept, being with eyes open and seeing when you're triangulating somebody or when you're being triangulated in, how does that feel? Mm. Usually the induction doesn't happen verbally and overtly.
Right.
It's usually a more nonverbal and emotional. You'll suddenly feel you'll feel angry towards somebody, or you'll be charmed. It's like, wow, I love her so much. What is he doing with her? Like, you'll feel like you're naturally gravitating to take sides. Mm. You are being triangulated. So first of all is observation.
Yeah. So I'll give an example that the other day I was kind of feeling a little activated by a conversation that I had with my mom. And I noticed that a lot of times I'll turn to my siblings to kind of reduce, love you, mom. I'll reduce kind of anxiety or hostility through sharing with them, because, you know, the triangle there is so clear. Like, they know her, they know the dance, they know what it's like. And so then I can just kind of offload onto them. And this time I did something different because I was kind of mindful and aware of it. I wrote to my brother and I was like, I know that I'm triangulating you. But, which I know kind of negates the whole point, but at least I was kind of mindful, and it also allowed him to be mindful that I was kind of pulling him in. So I think that kind of being able to name it, to tame it, right, is crucial as a first step, at least, to cranking down the volume.
And the second step is control, right? Being connected to yourself, being grounded, responding. Don't get in, don't get triggered so much. You can have your opinion, but the second you try to judge, convince, fix, educate, you are basically being triangulated. So the best way to do is observe that, maintain the sense of humor and play. And this is really important. Stay in touch with both sides. The second you don't talk to somebody for years on end or for months, you're basically being triangulated.
But I think that's kind of, that's really important advice for the person who is being triangulated. I think for the person whose default is to go to a third party to triangulate, right? If this kind of heats up, to go to the third, is to be aware and like realize, oh, what's happening? Like, how am I feeling this? Am I getting flooded? Why am I getting flooded? And it might even be to take a few minutes and kind of remove yourself rather than kind of go to a third, but like maybe find an external kind of outlet, running, talking to yourself, listening to, like, to remove and reduce hostility that way, so that you can come back to the crucible and the dyad and like work it out.
I'll give an example. I'm working with a couple a few years ago, and they were living with her mom. So what happened, they had a built-in triangle. So every time it got too tense between her and her husband, she'd go in and cry to her mom. And her mom then would obviously take her side, and the animosity between her and the husband. And they were just being locked in this triangle. And the solution for them was to actually move out. To take out the third, to detriangulate the mother. But I'm reminding you that if you're in this dance, the third is willing and able and almost ready. And you can see this with Tzach, the second, like as I said before, the second he gets tense, he already hits his sister. He's already pulling attention.
Right.
He's triangulating himself, even though we didn't ask.
Because he wants to be a loyal son.
Right. So you will never be able to completely detriangulate, but every little step you do,
yes,
helps the whole system raise differentiation.
Yeah, it's basically learning how to control the dial of the volume on the triangle, because it's going to be there, right? There's always the volume dial. It's just how much to crank it up. And if you realize that you are the one that controls it, that's, you're ahead of the game.
And you'll grow. So that was Lily Romanelli.
Dr. Asel Romanelli.
We're the
Potential State.
We'll see you next time.
Bye, Triad.
You've been listening to the Potential State podcast. For more information, visit us at potentialstate.com. Thanks for listening.